We're joined in the studio. Abigail and I are still here, but now we have additional guests. Got to keep all these names straight. We're joined in the studio by two members of Portland's branch of the Industrial Workers of the World. This is Marie and Larry. Say hello.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having us here.
And the reason they're here is because, of course, that strike was led by Industrial Workers of the World 100 years ago, by Wobblies, by members of the IWW. When we talked with Steve Early, about the celebration in Lawrence a couple of days ago, one thing he did not mention, and so I'm going to mention it here, the keynote at that symposium was delivered by Rich Trumka, who is the head of the national AFL-CIO. And he addressed the history and went into some detail about the history of the Lawrence strike. And he did it without one time mentioning the IWW. Somehow, like we said before, the Lawrence strike was written out of history for at least 75 years. Basically no mention of it, and certainly still no mention in textbooks or that kind of thing. He managed to write out the IWW. Abigail, you've got some real live Wobblies here. What do you want to ask them?
Well, I would love to hear from both of you just what your thoughts are on the relevance of the Lawrence strike today.
Fellow worker Marie, I want to make sure that you have a chance to speak about a particular group of people who at the time were maybe not so empowered to take much action, but thanks to IWW influence, things changed.
Yeah. Boy, we're supposed to guess what that group is. Is that right? Go, Marie.
Well, I think the relevance of the Lawrence strike today is that it was, you know, in large part due to the work of women and immigrants, with a very large overlap between those two groups. And the relevance to today is that we are still fighting those same fights of, you know, improving workplaces for immigrants and also for women, not only in the U.S., but many of the same conditions that were going on in the Lawrence textile mills are very similar to the conditions in factories overseas.
Indeed. It seems that we can look 100 years ago and think, perhaps some people may think, well, things must be much better now as 100 years ago. Much has been done and accomplished due to the work of all the maybe founding members of the IWW, etc. But as we all should know, that things did not necessarily change very much, and we can actually see patterns repeating history and have, at least this time, have a good foundation of events that had occurred, and then from there be educated on maybe new best practices or additional things we can do in our community, in our workplaces, etc., in order to continue to combat these same problems that just keep on occurring. So,
yeah, it seems like one of the really impressive things about Lawrence was the workers' ability to come together across all these different boundaries that were dividing them, of language and ethnicity and culture. And as you said, it's very much still relevant today. I wonder if you all have seen that dynamic at play in particular campaigns or struggles going on in Portland, that you think people have been dealing with those challenges successfully. Or I suppose, have you seen people dealing with them in some fashion that's a learning experience, or successfully, either way?
I feel as though it is very much at the forefront of our current struggle, especially in dealing with immigrants now, because at the time, 100 years ago, there was a lot of immigration, especially on the East Coast, with all of the different workers, lots of different languages, people being divided thusly. And as we look now, 100 years later, on the other side of the country, there is a different level of immigration, you know, a lot of illegal workers that people just, you know, keep on tossing these buzzwords around in the media, and we realize that, you know, they are workers and they're here with us, and that is actually very much a struggle. A lot of different organizations in the area are dealing with this, and we indeed are as well. So maybe, fellow worker, if you have particular instances in which this is being dealt with, because I know there's a variety.
Yeah, I think I don't personally have much experience with that, but I do know that this is a common occurrence in our organizers that are in like food service. There will be a lot of division between front of the house, back of the house, and a lot of that is based on language barriers and things like that. So, yeah, it's still an issue, and we're still dealing with it best we can.
You know, one of the things that's so striking to me, this is Norm again, you've been listening to Marie and Larry and Abigail asking them questions. One of the things that's so striking to me about the history is that the anti-immigrant slurs of 100 years ago are the same ones that we hear now. The rhetoric is this. There are only so many ways you can put people down, basically, or kind of defend your own position by trying to divide other people. And the rhetoric is basically the same. Send them back where they came from. You know, build barriers so they can't come in. They're here only to take our... Well, then it wasn't to take our jobs, but they're here only to get rich, you know, out of our economy and send the money back. That was a very common one in Lawrence in particular.
Indeed. That seems to be just this discourse that, you know, we just keeps getting worse in different states with different levels of action in, you know, politics, trying to do these, you know, despicable actions that we just, you know, we really, how much more do we have to hear until... We just all kind of realize that it's obviously very absurd, and we look and see what kind of work is being done by immigrant workers, and indeed with a lot of the trucking industry as we've been seeing over here on the West Coast. And it's just really crucial basic information. And yes, so and I don't want to keep on talking because fellow worker has anything to say. No.
No, I think you covered it. It's fine.
Well, it's great to hear that the IWW is being really intentional about trying to reach across those barriers. I think we're seeing with both the economic crisis and the ecological crisis worsening and kind of spiraling over time that the right wing in particular, but you know, other folks as well are scapegoating immigrants for those problems. And obviously the immigrant community is not responsible for either of those things by a long shot. But it's a dangerous dynamic that exists. And I think it takes a lot of foresight and a lot of planning in our movement building activities to try to head that off before it really gets worse in this country.
Another commonality between these times and 100 years ago, we were talking about this just a little bit earlier off the air, and that's this race to the bottom. You know, that's this pitting people against each other, not only as ethnicities, race, gender, but as economic units.
Yeah, I think especially, I don't know, probably within the past decade, we've seen a lot of attempts by the right wing to backslide us into that, you know, time of the original Industrial Revolution where, you know, people are working, you know, 16-hour days for, you know, pennies an hour. You know, we've had legislators propose things like getting rid of child labor laws and the minimum wage and all of these things that people fought and died for are now again where they're trying to take that away from us again, and so we have to fight those same fights over and over again, and it's definitely a race to the bottom, all based on you know, what's gonna benefit the capitalist class and the business owners.
Indeed, it's a very common and useful tactic of hierarchical control from the top, divide and conquer. It's going to happen all the time in many different forms. You see it within things such as prisons, in our workplaces, etc. Always the same tactics. So what we need to do is unite and build solidarity. The name of the game, right?
That's a terrific way to end. Abigail, I'm going to give you the last word, whether you want to invite people to tomorrow or whether you want to do a summary.
Well, I feel like we've heard a lot of great things today. Maybe hard to summarize. But I think, you know, what Marie and Larry have been saying is completely right. You know, as long as the profit motive is the driving force in our society, we're going to continue to keep fighting these fights over and over again. And I think the actions that are going to take place tomorrow on May Day with the aim of, you know, bringing back community control of resources and direct democracy and showing solidarity with workers and immigrants. That's the path forward that we all need to take. So I look forward to seeing folks in the streets tomorrow.
And this is what enabled the Lawrence workers to win 100 years ago. This is a version, a song by Cy Conn, sung again by Rebel Voices. They all sang Bread and Roses. We all sang Bread and Roses.
Don't you think it's crazy, this old world and its ways? Whoever thought the 60s would be called the good old days? But like the weavers sang to us, wasn't that a time when we raised our hands and voices on the line? And we all sang bread and roses, Joe Hill and Union's May.